Hello and welcome to the Middle East Today with me, Ali Risk. Acting Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas will be going ahead with the bid to upgrade the status of Palestine at the UN General Assembly to a non-member observer state. This despite the strong opposition from both Israel and Washington, both of which have cautioned that punitive measures could be taken against the Palestinian Authority. To discuss the Palestinian bid at the UN General Assembly, I am joined here in the studio by Dr. Ibrahim Sharqi from the Brookings Institution in Doha. Thank you very much for joining us. And from London, I am joined by Mr. Samah Habib, a Palestinian journalist. Dr. Ibrahim, let's begin with you, first of all. This Palestinian bid for statehood, what will it achieve for the Palestinians? Because many people are saying it's actually a symbolic move. Where are the fruits of it?
Well, there is, first of all, as you said, the symbolic part of this UN bid is that for once at least that the Palestinians will address the United Nations in more of a recognition of a Palestinian state rather than as it was in the past being invited just for a talk. So here we're talking about more of a symbolic victory for the Palestinian leadership and for their approach of dealing with the Palestinian question at this time and in working with the international community. In addition to the symbolic part, there is some advancement that the Palestinian leadership can do for the Palestinian cause by upgrading the status at the United Nations. And as we know, one of the major benefits that we've been talking about it for some time is membership in the international organizations. We have seen a full Palestinian membership in the UNESCO and in the United Nations. If this becomes a reality after the voting, then this will allow the Palestinians membership in other UN organizations as well.
How can it change the situation on the ground? Because we all know that Israel is shifting further more to the right. We saw the primary elections in Israel, and President Obama doesn't appear to have the will or the capability to put pressure on the Israelis. In the end, these expansive settlement policies continue, etc. So how will it change the facts on the ground?
Yes, and here we have to recognize the opportunities that comes with this upgrade and the limits. So we have to recognize both. In terms of the opportunity, this takes actually the fight with Israel to a whole different level rather than being mutual in Palestine, the Palestinians against the Israelis. This opens the door for more of a legal international battle because then Israel can be held legally and in the international law to be more responsible about its practices in the Palestinian territories. So it's about actually taking the conflict to and the struggle against the Israeli question to a more international legal level by this upgrade. And if Palestine becomes a state in the United Nations, it will, as we said before, it will become more of an opportunity to enroll in other international organizations. Okay. We have to recognize just one thing on the limits. We should not exaggerate the impact of this membership because at the end of the day, there are facts on the grounds. The settlement expansion has been legally denied by the international community, but nevertheless, Israel is continuing. So there is the limit to this upgrade that the Palestinian leadership should understand and not to just exaggerate the impact of it.
Okay, Mr. Samah Habib from London, do you think that this step by the Palestinians will bring about significant benefits, fulfill the aspirations, or be an introduction to fulfilling the aspirations of the Palestinians?
Maybe it's very early to speak about the benefits for the Palestinians at this stage. Let's see what will happen after 2 days and the vote of the General Assembly, which will pass by all means, as the expectations are telling us. The most important thing is the joining of or the membership of the International Criminal Court, the ICC, in which if the Palestinians manage to get a membership, which is not automatic, which is not guaranteed, if they manage to join this organization, at least it would be the most important benefit out of this membership within the General Assembly. If the Palestinians manage to get this membership, they would bring Israeli leaders to the ICC, in which they will persecute them for the crimes they have committed against the Palestinians. And if you have read the politics of the last few days, we've seen America and the EU and even Britain, they have pressured the Palestinians to soften the text of the charter they have offered to the General Assembly. They want to make sure that the Palestinians do not really get a membership for the ICC. And if you read the Telegraph today, William Hague made it clear to the Palestinians, according to the Telegraph, that they could make a conditional acceptance in which England vote for the Palestinians in case the Palestinians would not take a membership in the ICC. So this is the very important part of this acceptance. If Palestine is accepted as a non-member state, I guess Israelis are very afraid. If you read Haaretz and other newspapers, you would see the issue of the ICC as the very important and a critical part for them.
But even if they are allowed, even if this resolution leads to referring Israeli officials to courts, will that actually, is that really possible? Can it happen in light of the American pressures, the pressures of other sides, which even could prevent this despite the Palestinians enjoying such a right if they have observer status?
Well, this is the issue. You know, there have been dozens and hundreds of international resolutions, whether at the UN or through other bodies. And the last significant ruling of the International Court of Justice in The Hague was in 2004, when they have ruled out the wall is illegal and should be dismantled in the West Bank. But it never happened because America and as well as the EU are supporting Israel. This is the key issue. Yes, the Palestinians can struggle, they can go to international arenas, they can do this and that. But at the end of the day, there is a firewall imposed by the supporters and the allies of Israel in which they will ban any harm for Israel
okay,
in the long term and the short
term. Allow me just to ask my guest about the American stance. Dr. Ibrahim, regarding the American stance, you know, even in this step, Mahmoud Abbas is considered the Palestinian ally of President Obama, but even here, Obama has chosen to back Netanyahu. Why is it that even in such a mild step, the Americans still are pursuing the same old pro-Israeli track?
That's a very important question, but before I answer this, let me just add one more thing on the membership, because though I don't want it to seem as it's all about the membership in the ICC, but it is important is to have access to the ICC, especially that keep in mind that we are talking about very serious investigation about the death of Arafat, right? And whether, you know, we are expecting in a couple of months for the testing of Arafat's death is to appear and to see how this is going to be handled. So a membership in the ICC would allow the Palestinian the leadership is actually to pursue this case in the ICC if this becomes a reality again and becomes a member in the United Nations and in the ICC. So that is how it is important. Now for the U.S., I believe it's that the relationship between the U.S. and Israel is much deeper than just about a resolution or about voting or not voting in the United Nations. Unfortunately, the Obama administration has allied itself with the Israeli interest in the first term of under Obama. And it was justified and explained by many in the first term that Obama is allying with Israel because he needs the Jewish vote in the United States and all of that. But now we are seeing Obama is in the second term, is no different from Obama in the first term. And this was very, very clear and disappointing in the first couple of days of the war on Gaza, where Obama made a very clear statement allying itself with one party of the conflict with Israel, at the expense of the U.S. image in the region and its role in the region of allying. So this actually has disappointed the allies. And I think here, the U.S. allies, and in particular, Mahmoud Abbas. I think here what the Obama administration is doing is trying to have more of a trade-off between you know, allies, which is a very wrong approach, because if you are an ally, then you have to support your ally here in the region. And Mahmoud Abbas has shown the highest level. There is no leadership in the Palestinian history, I would imagine, that could go more liberal or more moderate than the current Palestinian leadership, than Mahmoud Abbas. And here's the outcome. Here's what he's getting from the Obama administration, is that continue to ally with Israel and not supporting the Palestinian membership. This, in fact, is causing instability in the region for the U.S. interest and for the Palestinian interest. And in my view, the only beneficiary of this kind of these kind of dynamics is Israel. Because with the Palestinians seeing the most liberal, moderate Mahmoud Abbas is not being supported by his allies in the Obama administration, this is going to radicalize more of of the Palestinians rather than if it would be in the U.S. interest to support the moderate approach in the Palestinian leadership. But that has not happened.
Mr. Sameh Habib from London, what do you expect the reaction of your Obama administration to be? This resolution is expected to get the majority support at the General Assembly. How will the Obama administration react? Will it punish the Palestinian Authority, or will this lead to Obama pushing Netanyahu more into negotiations? What do you think of the scenario?
Well, the Americans yesterday, they have issued a statement in which they've considered the unilateral step of the Palestinians as harmful for the negotiations and the peace process. And they said that any agreement should be reached with the Israelis through only negotiations. And this step by the Palestinians would not bring about peace in the region. I think the Americans have made it clear through their threats that they have executed and are threatening to execute. They have already imposed sanctions on the Palestinian Authority. They have not channeled all the budgets that were allocated to the bodies of the Palestinian authorities. Also, they have sanctioned the Palestinian people by banning and preventing medical and food aid through the U.S. aid in Gaza and in the West Bank, and also banning many projects over the past 1 year since the start of the full membership application last year that was before the Security Council, and which was refused at that. I think the issue with the American administration is the same. I have came here many times and I've repeated my view about the American administrations and about the European stance regarding this issue. They are alike. They're not going to change. They're backing Israel. They're giving Israel back to what is happening. I think the Palestinians would get some kind of a majority in the General Assembly. Riyad al-Maliki, the foreign minister of the Palestinian Authority, said that they have already obtained agreement of more than 130 countries out of around 190 countries in the General Assembly. So the Palestinians would get, not a landslide winning, but they will get the majority and they will pass this.
Mr.
But
Habib,
the challenge, as I said earlier, what is next?
If you allow me just to interrupt you, it seems, Dr. Brahim, you have a comment about that issue, you know, U.S. standing with Israel. Many people also say that, you know, this support for Israel is backfiring against U.S. interests themselves. There's no logical explanation for going this far in supporting these extreme Israeli policies.
We have definitely to recognize the threats and opportunities here for the U.S. administration in this issue. As we said earlier in this show, that the support of the United States to Israel is beyond doubts, cannot be questioned even. This is very obvious, this is very clear. Now the question becomes, to what extent the U.S. administration can go in pressuring Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian leadership? And I think, in my view, there is a limit to where, to what extent the U.S. can go to in pressuring Mahmoud Abbas. To answer this issue here, we have to recognize that the Palestinian Authority and the survival, the existence and the survival of the Palestinian Authority is at the core of the U.S. and Israeli interest. It's not only the Palestinian interest. And the U.S. understands this. Israel recognizes this as well, that the existence and the survival of the Palestinian Authority helps both. And for that reason, I think there is a limit to how much pressure they can apply against Mahmoud Abbas. Because if the pressure is too much and then Mahmoud Abbas ends up resigning and the Palestinian Authority collapsing, trust me, this is a nightmare that for Israel and for the U.S. that they don't want to see. And for that reason, if you compare the U.S. position this time and the last year when the Palestinian Authority ran for a bid also, we can definitely, at least in my view, see that the U.S. Actually limited its pressure. It's not aggressive as it was last year. Last year, keep in mind that Obama picked up the phone and called the presidential council in Bosnia to prevent Bosnia, the three leaders there, from supporting the Palestinian leadership. So the president himself invested his time and effort to prevent supporting of the Palestinian state. This time, actually, we have seen a clear message coming from Hillary Clinton telling the Israeli government that if you pressure the Palestinian leadership too much, it will collapse. And mm-hmm. if the Palestinian Authority collapse, it's a nightmare that no one wants
to see. Okay, in that perspective, we all heard what the Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman said. He said that, you know, this step might lead Israel to toppling Mahmoud Abbas. Do you think that the U.S. would allow Israel to do this much damage to the Palestinian Authority as a retaliation?
I do not think so, and I do not think that even the Israeli government would allow Avigdor Lieberman to do that. I'm not sure actually how many people take Avigdor Lieberman seriously, even within the Israeli government. And this was obvious in several occasions in the past when he made such these aggressive statements, even Netanyahu himself. In the past year, we heard them saying that this does not represent the Israeli government. So mm-hmm. I don't think the U.S. takes Avigdor Lieberman seriously. And if he goes there, you know, to that territory, the U.S. knows very well how to stop him. Not because of the U.S. pressure, direct pressure against Lieberman, but also through the Israeli government that they realize is that the survival and the existence of the Palestinian Authority is in the interest of everyone, including the U.S. And definitely the U.S. is not interested and does not have the appetite to deal with the Palestinian issue without a moderate leadership like Mahmoud Abbas. Mm. And for that reason, I think the pressure or the reaction, it will be limited. It will not be as aggressive as we thought in the past. Maybe we can see some tax revenue being held by Israel, but this will be compensated by other sources. Settlements, we might see some settlements, expansion, but this is happening anyway, you know, okay. So it's not about uh-huh. the president.
Mr. Sameh Habib from London, do you expect a strong response from Israel, a harsh response, or do you agree with our guest in the studio that the Obama administration will use its leverage to limit the damage which Israel would like to do to Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority?
Well, I think this question should be directed to the Palestinian people. I guess Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority, they have made all this issue about the membership in the UN and made it a fact that we Palestinians, we need a state based on 1967 borders. They made all this without asking the Palestinian people. They didn't ask the Palestinian people, they didn't take their green light, they didn't take their agreement on what is going on. And this is some kind of a danger to the Palestinian national entity as a whole. You know, the PLO that is supposed to represent the Palestinians, by taking this decision unilaterally, this regardless of its advantages or disadvantages. I guess it's a setback for the Palestinian people. I guess the PLO now, if the Americans would continue their pressure as well as the Israelis, and if they would stop the tax revenues and the aid from the donor countries to get into Palestine and the Palestinian Authority, the PLO should dissolve the Palestinian Authority, because reality is different. We are not a state. We are under occupation. The West Bank is still under occupation. Settlements are everywhere.
A question regarding the internal Palestinian situation. We did hear that there is general Palestinian support for this step. However, some officials from Hamas, like Mahmoud al-Zahar, have expressed opposition. Do you think that Mahmoud Abbas enjoys the backing of the Palestinian Interior House?
Let's be clear about that. No. The full Palestinian consensus or agreement on this bid is not clear. Even Hamas position, which came very late, is not a collective or a unified position of the entire movement. Michel, in a phone call, it was appeared or reported in the news that he's supporting the efforts of Mahmoud Abbas, but it was vague, obscure. It's not clear how Hamas is supporting it. Individually, the spokespersons of Hamas did not really support the idea. And we are used, if Hamas has a position from certain issue, they issue one unified statement about this issue and they explain their position. But we didn't see this. We didn't see this from Islamic Jihad, which is another big faction. Also, the rest of the Palestinian factions, they are a bit in a mess about this. They really did not support it because they didn't know the repercussions and it was not clear. And some of the factions do not agree on the fact that a state based on 1967 borders. So let's be clear about it. This support or this bid, although it has some advantages, it is not supported fully by the Palestinian people.
Dr. Ibrahim, don't you think that supporting such a bid, you know, some people say resistance along with diplomatic efforts can go hand in hand and complete each other. So wouldn't it be then advisable for there to be full support for this, especially after Hamas and other resistance factions consider they achieved victory in the latest Gaza war?
Well, I think it was striking that we have seen the statement from Khaled Mishal supporting the bid, actually, because Hamas in the past did not support this, and they actually acted against it and undermined its importance. So for the first time, we are seeing some support from Khaled Mishal in particular, and this also sheds light on the position of Hamas. We have Mahmoud Zahar is talking in one direction, and Khaled Mashal is talking in the other direction. So, but this is important. This is important development, and you know, at this time, especially after the war in Gaza, and also about the way overdue Palestinian reconciliation. If we see that there are more voices supporting one step, and in this case, in the United Nations, so would this pave the way for more of a reconciliation within the Palestinians? Maybe. But again, I think we need to see what is the outcome of the voting is going to be and whether this is going to be something that will really address the needs of the Palestinians and address the Palestinian cause, or just another diplomatic move that would end up in a failure like, you know, many things that happened in the past. I think it would, if it fails in the future, I think it will be a huge setback for the Palestinian reconciliation, because then it will raise many questions about which direction it's going.
Okay, Mr. Samah Habib from London, you are in one of the major European countries. The British Foreign Minister, William Hague, just about half an hour ago said that Britain will vote no to this resolution. However, there are other countries like France who said they will vote yes. Now, how significant is the support of these European countries? Because many say that they are decisive, more important than the votes of countries like Malaysia or Brazil or these others. Europeans are very important when it comes to the weight of this resolution.
Well, to some degree, yes. Most of the European Union, let's speak about it, they will vote for the resolution. Spain might abstain. England, you've just said, they will say no as the pressure of Israel is mounting through the U.S. because, as I said, they wanted to have a condition which is not to include the ICC, and the Palestinians would not go for the ICC in the future. I guess it will pass, although maybe some European countries would not vote, even if they are key. They're not key in the peace process and what is happening. The only mediator is the U.S. administration. Even the rest of the EU, they're not as active as the U.S. and other parts in the Middle East, a peace process. But I guess the vote of France is very vital and has given more momentum to the Palestinian step towards the statehood.
Okay, Dr. Ibrahim, what's the future of negotiations between the Palestinians and the Israelis? After this step is taken, what will we see? Will we see the Israelis being pushed to negotiations? Will we see them abstain, especially as Israel is moving more and more, as we said, right wing?
Well, Mahmoud Abbas, we know for sure that he announced a couple of weeks ago that after the UN voting that he will be willing to go back to negotiations. So this is something yet to be seen, and depending on how the voting moves. Now, on what basis that Mahmoud Abbas is going to go to negotiations, this is unclear, because uh-huh. Israel will not change or has not shown any interest in changing the settlement policies. And I think any negotiations without the full freeze of settlements, it's not going to lead to any productive outcome in the future.
Okay. All right, our time is up, right. Of course. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Ibrahim Sharqiyi, Deputy Director of the Doha Brookings Center. I'd also like to thank my guest from London, Mr. Samah Habib, Palestinian journalist. For all our viewers, you could send us your feedback at our email, metoday@presstv.com. For now, it's goodbye.